Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. So this is Jody Oster. I'm a resident at 1080 Wyandotte, and I'm here with Steve Reynolds, one of our candidates for mayor. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Now that the weather's a little better.
Oh. As long as there's no snow, I'm happy.
Yeah, well. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate your willingness to sit down and talk to me just one-on-one about your candidacy. And, you know, I think it's going to last about an hour. If you want to talk a little longer or a little less, that's fine, too. You know, I did receive some questions from members of the community to ask. And then also I have some of my own to supplement the time. So I guess, you know, the first thing I wanted to ask you is how does your candidacy for mayor, how is it distinct or separate? How do you separate yourself from the candidacy of Greta Kearns for mayor?
And we only have an hour?
Well, you know, maybe I should say, give me the top three bullet points or something like that.
Boil it down to a couple. I think it's important that we have a balanced approach to development in the city. I think it's important that we have a fiscally responsible approach.
Sorry about that. Not sure how to stop that from happening.
This call coming in.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that we have a fiscally responsible approach to developing civic facilities. I think we've unfortunately missed the boat a little bit on both of those, even in just the most recent years. We need to focus more on that. When I speak of balanced development, I think it's important to note that I'm not anti-development. I was surprised going out door-to-door this week and talking with somebody who said, oh, I heard you're anti-growth, you're anti-development. That's simply not true. Recall, if you will, that I was council president in 2009 when the original economic development agreement was negotiated with NRI. I was part of that team that did that, and understand or recall as well that was part of the depths of the Great Recession. We negotiated firmly but fairly with NRI. That may have surprised them a bit that a small community would do that, but we had some tremendous people on council at that time, Liz Kelker and Susan Jagers, that just spent countless hours poring over documents time and again to make sure that we came out with something that was firm but fair. It was a win-win-win. It was a win for the city because we had new development. It was a win for the schools because in the library because we did our best to protect them to make sure they would continue to have revenue coming in even in the transition years. And it was obviously a win for NRI and Nationwide because they were able to put together a pretty substantial amount of land, and by the fact that they continued to build there, I'm assuming they're going pretty well. But unfortunately, we in 2014 when we renegotiated the agreement with NRI, and again just the beginning of this year, we had opportunities to improve upon the deal. With NRI, we had opportunities to enhance what our residents, both in the existing part of Grandview and the new portions, would experience. And we instead chose to really just accept what was presented to us.
Well, what were the opportunities that we missed? What were the things that we could have done to improve the agreement with NRI?
Well, actually, in some cases, we went backwards with what we had. So, for example, the 2009 agreement, we negotiated to have one or possibly 2 acres within the yard for what was kind of loosely defined as a civic component, more than just a passive green space or park, but something that would provide a valuable amenity to the folks in the yard itself, as well as reasons for people who are in or were in the existing part of Grandview to come down and interact so that we would have a blending of the old and new. It's kind of funny if some people speak of one Grandview but then vote against something like that. It just makes me shake my head. You know, there's some other things too that were...
Well, just before we leave that point, so in the 2014 agreement then, that was something that was negotiated out of the picture. So it was in the 2009 agreement, but then the 2014 amendment or renegotiation eliminated that component?
Correct.
And why is that? Was that something that NRI requested, or how did that come about?
Well, understand that was the 2 years that I took off of council. So At the beginning of 2014, Susan Jagers and Liz Kelker and myself all stepped back from council, and apparently that must have been a key sign for NRI to go back and negotiate a bit harder. So I can't speak exactly as to why NRI wouldn't want something like that. To me, it would just make sense that if you're coming to a community like Grandview where you're looking to capitalize on the name and the wonderful aspects that we already have in place, why would you not want to mix those together as much as possible? You know, it's unfortunate that they haven't. I can't speak to exactly why, but it's an opportunity that we missed. If you look forward to the most recent expansion of the yard south of Goodale, not only for the folks in Grandview, both in the north of Goodale part of the yard, but the people in the older part of Grandview, we've invested in green space, we've invested in public facilities, we've invested in parks and recreation. So it's disappointing that when we add, I'm told, 460 more residential units south of Goodale, that we're not adding any green space, we're not adding any recreational amenities for the folks in Grandview, both in that new part and the existing part of the yard and the existing part of Grandview that's been here however long it's been here, 100 plus years. We're not adding that. So that's disappointing as well, particularly that we're throwing in $15 million worth of TIF money for that south of Goodale development. And we're getting, by my most favorable estimates that I can come up with to make a case, we're adding no more than 150 jobs in that area. Now if you look at the mix of jobs north of Goodale, the existing part of the yard, to residences, if you look at the investment in TIF dollars per job that we get out of it, if you look at the density per residential unit, it's just not favorable in any way, shape, or form, not just to the city, but again to the folks who are going to live in that new part of the development.
And do you mean that more in terms, too, of the fact that that we have granted or given all this TIF money or pledged incentives, and really, on balance, we're not getting a lot in exchange for that? Is that what you mean? Or
well, yeah, really, when a city or any municipality is investing TIF dollars or providing incentives such as income tax or real estate tax abatements or rebates, it's an investment. We're looking forward to, over that period of time, that once that new development comes online, that they're going to be providing something, whatever it may be, to the community as a whole. So from my perspective, we need to make sure that new developments are a net gain, not a net drain on the city, the schools, and most importantly on our residents. And that just really wasn't striking me as the case, particularly at the south of Goodale addition to the yard. We also have a new development coming online at Grandview and 33.
The Grandview Crossing development?
Exactly. There are, at least in that overall development, even though part of it's in Columbus, there are green spaces in there. And one important component that made me happy that the developers considered to include it is a senior housing component. So, and ideally, if they're able to work out an operation agreement with another company to operate the first floor of skilled care, essentially a nursing home, it'd be an even greater value to folks in Grandview. You know, picture, if you will, a senior couple, and one of them might start to need some health care, and one of them, or neither of them, wants to leave their home, but at least then they could be in the same building together. Mm-hmm. Or you can just transition to be in a standalone home, which is most Grandview homes, as you know, are a bit of a nightmare, even if you're not older, to have no first floor bedroom.
And expensive, maybe, too, when you're on a retirement income.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Laundry in the basement and your bedroom's upstairs, that's not real conducive to older folks. And so here's a chance that, at least in that case, we're bringing things in. I'm not... enamored with absolutely every single portion of the Grandview Crossing development, but at least then we're adding something, and we're not bringing in nearly as much of a drain on the city and schools as we might otherwise have been. We're having a nice balance of residences, residential units, and jobs to try to pay for them over a period of time.
So is that something that's currently on the table with Wagenbrenner, that they're considering putting some sort of an enhanced assisted living facility in the say the first floor or a lower level of the senior living facility?
Well, that was part of their original plan they came to us with. And earlier this year, council approved the economic development agreement with them. So I don't want to say everything's set in stone, but what we've agreed to is what we've agreed to. And the way it's spelled out in that agreement is there'll be a senior living component to the new development. Wagenberg and Company wasn't sure if they'd be able to strike an appropriate deal with an operator for that first floor. We're still hopeful that'd be the case. And last I heard from them, they're still hopeful that'll be the case, as well as the potential for some sort of a community facility that if you've seen them in other communities in other areas, it's so much more than just a basketball court and a pool. It's 365 days a year, sunrise to sunset, and then some, programming that just has such a social benefit that I'm really hoping, even if Grandview Heights kicks in a little money to what may or is all but likely to be a facility located in the city of Columbus, it'll be seamless enough that I think it would benefit the whole city. So really hoping that'll come through as well.
Now, so the south of Goodale development, I believe you voted a no on, isn't that right? Because you wanted to see more, or why don't you tell me why you voted no?
Yeah, well, in both cases, both the Grandview Cross and the South Goodale, any economic development agreement is sort of a complicated layering of multiple ordinances. So most everything south of Goodale, I voted against. Knowing that that's not going to change anything, enough of my council colleagues were on board with moving that through. The one aspect that I did vote in favor of, as a side story, is ensuring that the other development partner there from NRI, which is Tri-W, the former W.W. Williams, it turns out they were promised by the administration that they would have these same economic incentives as NRI. Well, NRI already had them essentially by right by the original economic development agreement in the 2014 one, but Tri-W didn't have those. I wasn't especially thrilled with providing them without getting something in exchange, but I thought it only fair to have a level playing field in that new area, especially because Tri-W had been, literally they were promised them, and with the administration saying, well, we knew it wasn't, or it turns out it wasn't something that was actually afforded to them until council voted after the fact. So,
and I mean, that's what I was going to ask. Does, and I assume by administration you mean the mayor, Mayor DeGraw, or Pat Bowman, or
the mayor, and specifically Mr. Bowman.
Okay. And so the Tri-W was promised these incentives by the mayor, by Mayor DeGraw and Pat Bowman?
As the mayor and Pat have presented, yes, that was the case. So when that legislation came forward to make sure that both development partners in that group had the same fair level playing field, I did vote for that. And I noted at the time, as I noted with you, not being real wild about it, but it just seemed only the fair thing to do.
And so it seems like you're indicating that the mayor and Mr. Bowman didn't have authority to make those kinds of promises to the developer themselves. Is that right?
Well, yeah. Anything that requires an ordinance isn't something that the executive branch can promise to anybody. Even a single council member as myself or anyone else can't promise an ordinance. We can say we'll work on it. But you know, that's a bit troubling that, again, in their own words, they said that's what they did, and just sort of, oops, so well, that's the way it goes.
I want to make sure that the recorder's working properly,
sure.
So we'll just take a second so I can be sure of that.